Okay, we're now holding just before Tisha B'Av, and the Parsha Bamid of Dvarim is always read in the week before Tisha B'Av. Matter of fact, last week we had Matas Masai, which is over 200, almost 230 psukim or more, in 230.
What Matas
Masai? Matas Masai, 249 psukim. Yeah, a lot of 244 psukim.
Wait,
a lot of psukim.
Matas
and Masai are together, all in order to make sure that Parshas Dvarim comes out before Tisha B'Av. Now, the main reason is because there's a pasuk in Dvarim, and it also deals with Teichach of Klal Yisrael, deals with rebuke of Klal Yisrael. So we're going to talk about two things today. The first is we're going to deal with something that we saw from Rabbi Yochanan Zweig, and then we'll ask a question on a Gemara that in Hashem at the end of the shir we will come back to. So let's begin our Sedra. Eila hadvarim asher diber Moshe kol Yisrael. These are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the whole Jewish people. And then he mysteriously lists a number of locations. Bever Yarden, okay, that's good. We know on the other side of the Yarden River. Bamidbar, in the desert, okay, we know in the desert. But then it says Barava, Mol Suf, Bein Paran, V'Teifel, V'Lavin, V'Chatzeres, V'Dizav. And then it gives a number of places that almost don't seem to be, like, where are these places? We don't find them mentioned elsewhere in the Torah. So the Chazal tell us, the famous Chazal that says that they looked in the whole Torah and they did not find any place, any of these places. But each one was Moshe Rabbeinu's delicate way of chastising the Jewish people in a way that was elliptical. In other words, he did not want to come straight out and say, you did this wrong, you did that wrong. First of all, it'll be very depressing on the one hand. People will, and two is, there's people do not accept direct rebuke. They don't take it well, and they won't absorb it. They'll just become hostile, they'll become defensive. So Moshe Rabbeinu really gave us the key to how to chastise somebody, how to give rebuke, how to give mussar. And so he said in each one, Bamidbar, says Rashi, Lo Bamidbar Hoya Ela Ba'arvas Mayev. Ma Bamidbar, Bishvil Ma Shechisu Bamidbar. They made him angry in the Midbar. When they say, Meeting Musenu, who said we should die and go back to Mitzrayim? Barava, says Rashi, because the Rava, they were Chatev Balpor. In Molsuf, Watsuf, Bayamsuf, they didn't believe. And then it says, Lovan, V'chatzeros, is talking about the rebellion of Kairach. It's talking about the Meraglim. And finally, it ends with Vidi Zahav. And the place called Di Zahav, which of course is a remnant to the Egel Azov. And Rashi tells us that, and it's interesting, I saw in some of the Meforshim, that if you look chronologically, the Egel Azov is at the beginning. It happened before a lot of these other things happened. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu mention the Egel Azov last? And furthermore, we find that when Moshe Rabbeinu gave Teichot, he gave it at the end of his life. And he learned it from Yaakov, who gave it at the end of his life. So he says that what we're trying to do, what they understood is when you give Teichacha, you don't want to, again, as we said before, you don't want to depress people, you don't want to destroy people, you wanted to give it in a way that they will accept it. So if you start with the biggie, they're already, you lost them. So you start with the lesser averas that they did, the smaller things they did, and you build your way up to the crescendo once they're in the Musar mood and they're willing to accept and you refias them, you treated them with respect and with covet. So then at the end, Vidi Zov will come at the end. Here, we can leave it outside and we'll bring it in later, okay? Yeah. Vidi Zov, and therefore we put the Egel HaZov toward the end, at the end of the list. But Lamaisa, it says, it's very interesting. So then he asks, I saw by in Rav Zweig, and then we'll Gemara. So Rav Zweig says like this, so what was Moshe Rabbeinu doing? Moshe Rabbeinu was giving them Teichacha. Right? He's not just speaking to Klal Yisrael, he's criticizing them. In fact, all the places in the Pasuk are locations where the Jewish people transgressed and angered Hashem. So the Gemara says like this, what was the reason for the Churban? We know that they did a lot of things wrong. And the Chazal tell us in Bava Metzia that because when they applied the laws of the Torah, they did it exactly according to the Torah. Exactly according to the laws of the Torah, not one penny more, not one penny less. That's it. And they didn't act in ways that have gone beyond the letter of the law. In other words, they didn't treat anyone better than the Torah required them. That's it. So Tysus over there, he says, asked the famous question. Why do we all know? What do we all know is the reason why the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed? Because of sinas chinam, because of baseless hatred. So Tosfos asks the question, how can you say it's because of they were hamidim din and all din Torah that they only did the letter of the law and they didn't do past that? We know it's sinas chinam. Says Tosfos, it's both. Tosfos is telling us both reasons. There's more than one reason. As we're going to see now, we're going to go into the Gemara, we're going to see seven different reasons for the Churban HaBayis. So Tosfos explained that baseless hatred led them to do only for each other what was required and nothing more. So now, here's where I've got a problem. The problem is the Gemara. There's another Gemara that says a very fascinating reason why the Torah, why the Ribbono Shel Olam destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So I'm going to read to you a number of reasons, and one of them we're going to talk about, and we're going to ask a global question, all of them we're going to come back to later. Says the Gemara, Omer Abaye, Lo Charvi Yerushalayim B'Lishvil Shechil Ba'as HaShabbos. He says the only reason is because they're Mechal Shabbos. That's it. Abaye says, Chil Shabbos. Omer Yabo, second reason, Lo Charvi Yerushalayim Elo Shebit Lu Kriya Shema Shachar Zarvis. Because the reason the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because they didn't say Kriya Shema. Okay, reason two. Reason three, Amr Rav Nuna lo charv Yerushalayim ella mishvil shebit lo batinaykes beis rabim. It was because they kept the children from learning. They didn't let them learn, right? That's the third reason. Amr Ula, fourth reason, lo charv Yerushalayim neisha lo hoya lehem baishas ponim zemizek, because they weren't embarrassed of each other. Can you imagine? Because they weren't embarrassed of each other, so that's where there was Churban bias. Where does, you know, what are these? Amr Yitzhak, lo charv Yerushalayim it was destroyed because they conceded great and small as equals. In other words, they took Gedali Yisrael and they treated them like regular people. Number six, Amram Amram, Bereid Rib Shimon Bar Abba, Amram Shimon Bar Abba, Amram Chanina. Lo Chor Yishlam Yishvil Shlo Chichu Zezza. They didn't give each other Teichach. And that's the one we'll talk about in a minute. There's the reasons. Amram, another one more reason. Amr of Yehuda lo charv Yerushalayim ela bishvil shebizu bal talmidei chachamim, because they embarrassed talmidei chachamim. And those are the reasons that the Gemara gives. So you have all these reasons which seem to be disparate reasons, seem to have nothing to do with each other, just like a grab bag of reasons that each Tana said. What's going on? How do they all come together? How can we find a common theme in all of them that will make them one reason at the end? But specifically, we're going to talk about one that says like this. This is what Reb Zweig talks about, and then we'll come back to this, our global question. Says the Gemara, Amrav Amram, said Reb Amram, Lo Chor Yerushalayim Yishvil Shlo Chich Zu Azu, because they didn't give each other Teichach. Yerushalayim was destroyed because they didn't give each other Teichach. Now, I don't know about you, but the more a person does like another person, the more he criticizes him, right? So what does it mean they were destroyed because they didn't criticize each other? Wait a second, if they hated each other with Sinas Chinam, so then they should criticize each other even more. Presumably, if based hatred was rampant in the city of Yerushalayim, harsh criticism couldn't be far behind. What does the Gemara mean when it says they didn't criticize each other? Almost everyone's familiar with the Torah command, Hochev Tochich Samisecha, the obligation of criticizing a fellow Jew. Sadly, most of us have no idea what this really means and when to apply it. As an example, most of us feel it is our sacred obligation to loudly shush the person Shul is talking too much, or disruptive in some way. As we'll explain, this does not fall under the obligation of criticizing a fellow Jew. So what is Teichach? What does it mean that you're supposed to criticize another person? How are you supposed to do it? So the Rambam gives us the answer. Says the Rambam in Perek Vav, we had a great time, if you remember a few weeks ago, we did the first one about the first halach in Perek Vav, the first time we learned it, and we talked about how people have to get together and they have to be with each other because everybody needs a chabura. If you remember that Rambam, it's good to chazer over that Rambam, that everybody needs a chabura and everybody's influenced by each other. And we had our chiddush about why Tillim starts with having a good company and staying away from bad company, because that's the aleph of being able to survive. If you have bad company, you're not going to make it. So the Rambam says here, halacha zayin, a different halacha. Listen to this. Haraya chaver shechata, somebody sees that his chaver sinned, oy shahala b'derek lo taiva, or he's going in a bad way. Mitzvah lachzir lamutav, you should bring him back. Ulaydiya shuchaita al atzman, to tell b'maisim, tell him that he is a sinner, that he is a sinner on himself with his bad deeds. Shenemra hotcheya techiya samisecha. Now, hamachias chaver b'dvein b'dvarim shebein ol b'eina. Whether you give him taychacha between him and his friend, between one person and another person, b'ein b'dvarim shebein ol b'eina mokum, between him and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Sar leichiyah b'eina l'beinas. You have to do it in private. The first lesson of taychacha is you can't do it in public. People, unfortunately, aren't sensitive to this. And when they get upset, especially with a child, it doesn't matter how many people are listening, they just let them have it. And they might be right in letting them have it, but they're wrong in doing it in front of other people, because I'm sure that everybody in this room can remember incidents that happened to them where they were children when somebody embarrassed them in public, and you still remember it many years later. And that's the most important thing, is give them taychacha privately. V'yadarul banacha, speak to him softly, v'lashon raka. The idea of Shayna Armor Loyal Taiva, so tell him it's only for his good. La Vila Chai Olam Abba, to bring him to Olam Abba. In Kimum and Mutav, if he accepts it good, Yav Yochicha Pam Shnia, you got to try it the second time, a third time, because it says, Hocheach Techiach, you got to give Haikacha, and you got to give more Taikacha until the person accepts it. There's questions into where you stop. Does he have to hit you? Does he have to yell at you? But the bottom line is that you have to give Taikacha in a positive way. But he brings out of this, you have to give taychacha in another important thing that we learn from the Rambam. He says most people only give taychacha to another person when it's nogea to them. So I go and I shush the person in shul because I can't daven. But let's say I see a friend of mine is doing something that's bad, that doesn't bother me, doesn't step into my dalaramas. Only a good friend will tell him something. So if you see somebody's walking in the chveis, their clothing is dirty, so if you're a good friend, you pull them aside and you tell them, even though it has nothing to do with you. If you're not a good friend, you say, it has nothing to do with me, let them, what do I care, not my problem. That's the difference between a friend, a taychacha, real taychacha, and not taychacha. Real taychacha is when you only are focused on the good of the person you're giving taychacha to. That's why if somebody's talking, let's say in shul, so you might call them to the side and talk to them and say it's not the right thing to do. If you're doing just because of yourself, then you don't care if they get embarrassed. Then you're really doing it for you. It's not for them. Says the Rambam, Taychacha is for the purpose of the person and not for anybody else. Most of us only criticize behavior. Others bothers us. Not that behavior is harmful to them. See, that's what the Gemara means. The Yerushalayim was destroyed because they didn't criticize each other. This was direct result of baseless hatred. If I liked another person and I had ava for that person, I would give him taychacha. I'd tell him his shirt's dirty. I would let him know there's something wrong because I care for him. But because they didn't care for him, they didn't rebuke each other. And that's what it means. Because they didn't rebuke each other because they didn't care for each other. And that was the problem. And the truth is, maybe they did rebuke it, but it was only the rebuke, which was okay to help themselves. You're talking too loudly. And I can't daven. But if you're in the back of the shul, you're talking loudly and I don't have a problem with it, I'm not going to say anything. Because then it's not real taychacha. Real taychacha is for the person himself. Now, we'll get back to the question in Yitzhak Shem later of what ties these different reasons. We asked the question, we gave a bunch of reasons why your shalim is karev. And Yitzhak Shem, we'll get back to the key question of what does one have to do with the other? Why are they negated to each other? But to do that, we need to go now to the most famous pasuk in this parsha, and that's pasuk Yud Beis. In pasuk Yud Beis, the Torah tells us, Eicha esa levadi torchachem asachem v'rivchem. Let me just ask a question, Mrs. Salem, you befrat. Do you say this? Do they say in your shul in Eicha Nigen? When they lay in Eicha in shul, they say Eicha not with the normal trup, but they say it like Eicha, you know, right? To show that it's a connection. I'm running. Does Sfardim do that too? I'm just curious. You know,
no, it's never been there at night.
No, it's by day. No, by the morning lady. I mean, from the beginning.
I'm talking about night, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. We'll have to find that. Okay, we'll have to find out. Okay. We'll look into it. Anyway, so the pasuk says, Eicha esa levadi torchachem umasachem v'rivchem. And he says, now the normal pshat is, what does it mean, how can I do it myself? It means I've got a tzibur of 600,000 people, 3 million, 600,000 men in the army, and I got 3 million people altogether, the cheshbon that they make. I can't judge them all. So the next puzzle is, Havel lechem anoshim chachomim nevainim, v'yadul meshivtechem. Bring to yourself chachomim, nevainim, you do l'shivtecha, bring smart people, and they'll help you out. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu seems to say. But Bamison, there's another pasuk that says a different thing. It says the Medrash in Eicha, Ilu zachisam, if you were zocha, ha'yisakarin b'tayra Eicha esa levadi. You would have read the pasuk Eicha esa. That's the only pasuk you would ever have read as Eicha esa levadi. The Akshim, now Shalozachichem, now that you weren't Zaycha, Hareyatem Kairim, now you have to read Eicha Yashva Badod, the Pasuk that begins, Rachman and Son, begins the beginning of Sefer Eicha. We should have Mashiach should come before them, we shouldn't have to read it. But right now we do, and that's what, again, the Medrash says. If you were Zaycha, you would say our Pasuk, Eicha Esa Levadi, but because you weren't Zaycha, you're going to have to read the Pasuk on Tisha B'Av of Eicha Yashva Badod. So what does that mean? What do these two Eichas come together? How do they come together with each other? So to understand that, he gives a different shot, a very nice shot. This is the Shvilei Pinchas. If you go back to Parshas, all the way back in Parshas Chukas, page 443. So it says, 442, it says that Aaron was Nifter, and says, and all of Klal Yisrael mourned him. Pasuk Chav Tes. Vayiru kol Eida ki gava Aaron, and the whole Eida saw that Aaron passed away. Vayiv goes Aaron shleishim yoyim kol Beis Yisrael, and all Beis Yisrael mourned for Aaron. Says Rashi, what does it mean kol Beis Yisrael, all of Beis Yisrael? Hanoshim vanoshim, the men and the women. Lefishoy Aaron roider shalom umatal ava ben bali mariva o ben ish leishtoy, because Aaron was a matal shalom between them. So he says a beautiful pshat. He says, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu says. How can I do it anymore without Aaron? Aaron just died. He says, when I had Aaron with me, Aaron knew how to handle all the interpersonal relationships. He knew how to handle all the different people. He knew how to talk to the husband and the wife to get them back together. He knew how to talk to the partners that were breaking up. He knew how to talk to the people in the shul. Aaron knew how to do it all. I don't have that talent. So he says, Eicha es levadi. How can I do it together without Aaron? Tarchachem. Masach and Rivchem. So that's the pshat. And Moshe Rabbeinu was saying almost a nevuah. He was saying, you know what the reason the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed? The Beis HaMikdash is being destroyed because of this terrible chet of sinus chinam, this terrible chet that you're not going to be able to get along with each other. And that sinus chinam, he predicted that sinus chinam. And that's why he used this lashon of Eicha. If you have a chumash open front, you'll see the two psukim before, he said the exact same words without the word Eicha. In Pasuk Tes says, "Va'omer aleichem beisayin." I told you in that time, Lamer, "Leuchu levadi seisas." Come, I can't do it by myself. He said the same pasuk two psukim, three psukim before. So what's he saying it again now? He's saying a different shot. Not I can't do it means you're just a lot of people. But he's saying, but you're not just a lot of people. You're a lot of people that can't get along. And if you can't get along, we can't survive as a tzibur. A tzibur, by definition, means people together. We're together with each other. If we're not together with each other, we're just not going to survive. We're not going to last. And therefore he said, Eicha esa levadi torchachem umasachem verivchem. He gave a prediction, he gave a musar shmuz almost with these words. He says, how am I going to do it without Aaron to help me? Because now all of the quarrels that you have, all the fights that you have, are going to turn into real fights. They're not going to be able to be solved. I don't have Aaron. I don't have my problem solver. He says, that shot in the Medrash. We started with the Medrash. The Medrash says, Ilo Zachisim. If you were Zaycha, Yisikaren, you would read in the Torah, Eicha Es Levadi, our Pasuk. Ashav Shalo Zachisim, Hareyat Akaren, Eich Yosh Bedad. What does it mean, you'd be Zaycha? If you'd be Zaycha and learn how to get along with each other, and learn how to be able to play in the sandbox together, I guess, as we say it today, nicely. You know how to get along, but if you don't know how to get along, then, Rachman Litzlan, you're going to end up with Eicha Yosh Bedad. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling us. So that's how we look at the pasuk and we see Moshe, he was prescient, he was clairvoyant, and he was telling us that this is what's going to happen if you don't learn to get along with each other. And I don't have Aaron anymore to help us do it, so you're going to have to do it. So we're going to have to sometimes, you know, they say, Gadol HaDor is Nifter, you might have to have 100 people to replace him. It says, I think, they say the Gemara says Rebbe was Nifter, and the Gemara goes through how each of his Talmud, and this Talmud did this, and this Talmud did that, and this Talmud did that. Every Talmud did something that brought the Rebbe back. That's one thing that he says in the Sefer Shvilei Pinchas. Then he says, everybody, I'm going to say two kashas, everybody knows the kashas. What I hope to propose is an answer that he's going to say that will be an answer that will be something that will give us hope and will be very nice and will get us into a good mood as we make our way through the end of the 9 days of the 3 weeks, and we really, you know, give us a boost as we go forward into the coming Yemei HaDin. It says a contradiction exists around the nature of the day. On one hand, right, we know we fast. We fast, we don't eat, we don't drink, we don't wear shoes, we don't sit on a bench. It's like Yom Kippur. It's even more than Yom Kippur, right? Because Yom Kippur, you can sit on a chair, so you don't even sit on a chair. So the day of Tisha B'Av is a day where we're in deep mourning. And we're deep mourning for the Beis HaMikdash. We have what to mourn about. I don't know how many people got killed. There are estimates of a million people, half a million people. It was a terrible destruction, but it more so was destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It was in Eretz Yisrael emptied out. It was a terrible day, and we mourn it, and we're very sad. On the other hand, there's a little bit of a contradiction here, because there's a very interesting halacha that on Tisha B'Av we don't say Tachna. Tachna is only said on certain days, which is not a mayid. We don't say Tachna
because
when it's a
day.
Because
we hope to have it as a
okay.
Mayid.
But it's specifically because of a pasuk. The pasuk says, a pasuk in Eicha. Pasuk in Eicha, pasuk Tezvav, Perek Aleph, Karolai Mayid. Very good. We consider it's a holiday. So Yirmiyah, who was the prophet of the destruction, he was the Navi, who the whole Sefer is about, and much of the Sefer is about the last days. If you hear me, it's not just Nevuah. Yirmiyah was actually the history of the end of the Beis HaMikdash, the last days of the Beis HaMikdash and the Malchus. So he was the one who always said things are going to be really bad. He was the one who was predicting doom and destruction, and yet he calls it Karolai Mayit. So the first question, of course, is why do we call it Karolai Mayit? The second question that troubles everybody in this Nekuda, it says when the Romans came into the Beis HaMikdash, B'shoshin Nichnasu Nachum L'Heichel, when the Goyim came into the Heichel, they saw the Kruvim, the cherubs, right, hugging each other. And the Kash is, what was that all about? We know the Gemara tells us that there are two psukim that talk about the Kruvim. One says, Pneim Ishel Achiv, then their faces were toward each other. And one says, another pasuk says, Pneim El Abayas, their faces were toward the Bayas. So, of course, we all know the answer. Like I said, the Kash is, we know. So the kasha is, says the Gemara, so how can it be? In fact, the Gemara, how can it be? Is it one way or the other way? So the Gemara says, lo kasha, kan bizman shi Yisrael oisin ritzayin shomakim. One is when the Klal Yisrael does the will of the Ribbono Shel, kan bizman shi ein Yisrael oisin ritzayin shomakim. And one is when they're not doing the will of the Ribbono Shel. So when they do the will of the Ribbono Shel, they're next to each other, they hug each other. When they're not doing the will of the Ribbono Shel, they turn away from each other. Question is, at the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, I mean, that's about as not happy the Ribbono Shel could be with us. So why were the Kruvim facing each other? The Kruvim should have been facing El Abayis. So these are two questions. The question about Karolai Mayit and the question about the Kruvim facing each other. So listen to what he brings. He brings from a Sefer Tzvi Letzadik, who is an Einik of Reb Tzvi Elimelech Blujov, an Einik of the Heilig of Bnei Yisoschar, and he says like this.
We're talking about the first Beis HaMikdash or the second?
Second
Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so
then
it was right, because...
Yeah, the second Beis HaMikdash. Well, no. The Kruvim was the first Beis HaMikdash. I don't know if there were the Kruvim inside. It was the second Beis HaMikdash also. Yeah, second Beis HaMikdash, yeah. Okay, he states, here's what he says. I'm going to read it in English. He states the 22 days of Beis HaMikdash from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz to Tisha B'Av is 22 days, right? You have the 3 weeks, and then you have Tisha B'Av. It's 22 days. Correspond to 22 days from Rosh Hashanah to Shemini Atzeres. The earlier tzaddikim would mitigate the impact of each of the 22 days of Bein HaMetzarim by associating each day mentally with its counterpart in the first 22 days of Tishrei. So every day, Rosh Hashanah, right, was Geneged Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. And moving it forward, Shmini Atzeres is Geneged Tisha B'Av. It's the same day, and they have an impact upon each other, the last day, the final day, before you move on to the next Tekufa in the year. So we learn a tremendous chiddush. The last day of Bein Mitzrayim, Tisha B'Av, which in the two Batei Mikdash were destroyed, corresponds to the last day of Yom Neroim, Chagasuk, Shmini Atzeres. According to Tzvi Letzadik, earlier generations tzaddikim would diminish the din of Tisha B'Av by focusing on its corresponding Dan Tishrei. In other words, Shmini Atzeres was the tikkun of Tishrei. What does it say? What is Shmini Atzeres? Let's look at a little bit Shmini Atzeres. It says, "Bayoyim Shmini Atzeres tiyelochem, pasuk in Bamidbar, on the day of Shmini Atzeres, kol meleches avod lo sasu, vikravtem oyle isherech nichel Hashem, par echad, aisle echad." We do one par and we do one aisle. Now, if you know your karbanos, the rest of Sukkot we're offering tons of karbanos, all sorts of karbanos, connect the Shiva Mu'umos, connect the 70 nations. Every day we're offering corresponding a little bit less, but more than one. And we know, of course, the famous Maisa, the famous Mashal that Chazal tell us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, like the king who had a whole fair, and it's almost like Achashverosh, Lahavdil Olos, but first you make for the whole country, and then you make for the people of your city. So he makes for everybody, and then he invites his beloved in. So we make it for the whole Umas Olam, the rest of Sukkot. And then we invite ourselves in on the last day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to have Yichud with you. I want to have time that we should just be together with you. That's the time to be together with you. So we see that Shmini Atzeres is a time to be together. Tisha B'Av is the time when we're apart from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Shmini Atzeres is the tikkun of Tisha B'Av. Shmini Tisha B'Av is when we're the most separated from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Shmini Atzeres is the day when they're most connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So because in the two sets of days, the days of mourning of the 3 weeks, we are separated so much from the Ribbono Shel Olam, the tikkun is that we're going to have Shmini Atzeres. And since they go together, as you said before, very well, Karolai Mayid, because there's going to be a Mayid, because we're going to have a Shmini Atzeres, because we're going to come back to the Beis HaMikdash, and we're all going to be together. So Karolai Mayid, today is also Mayid, because that's the day that we're going to look forward to, a connection to Shmini Atzeres. That's the day when we'll all be together on that day. That's the day when Shmini Atzeres and Tisha B'Av go together. The connection, we reconnect ourselves with Ribbono Shel Olam. So even as in Tisha B'Av we're separated from Ribbono Shel Olam, the Kruvim can hug each other because we know we're going to be together again. Just like when people separate from you, they go on a trip. So go on a trip, they hug each other, but they know they'll come back to each other. So there's a feeling that even this is the last moment, but there'll be a moment to come. But then he says a deeper pshat, and something which is really amazing. It says in the Pasuk, that the Chazal tell us rather, Kasha lai predaschen, your preda separating from me is so hard. Pasha pshat is you and me. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, you and me, Klal Yisrael, it's so hard for me. Another pshat. Kasha lai predaschen, it's very hard for me when you guys can't get along with each other, when you people can't get along with each other, when you Klal Yisrael can't get along with each other. That's what hurts me so much. So he says, Vayomer kasha lai predaschen, pirsh ki lepamim tizdame machloikis. There's a machloikis of pirchas v'sholom. Dvar mitzvah. It's a dvar mitzvah. That says it's kasha alai predaschen. You sometimes it's kasha when alai predaschen when you get upset with each other because of me. Because everyone wants to be firmer than the next person. Everyone wants to say, I have the right way in Derech Hashem. You don't have the right way in Derech Hashem. Alai predaschem. And that, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, is the hardest thing in the world for me. And that really ties back into the sin of schin that we spoke about before. The sin of schin that the Klal Yisrael has for each other is that kasha alai predaschem. So I want to get together, right, that all of Klal Yisrael should come together in Shmini Atzeres. So if you've ever been, there are parties, you know, Shmini Atzimchus in Eretz Yisrael, Simchus Torah. I mean, we have it differently. In Eretz Yisrael, Simchus Torah. Everybody's together, everybody's freilich with each other, but Simchus Torah, because that's what Hashem wants. Kasha alai predaschem. You're being pured from each other is something that hurts me very much, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. So in that way we have Karolai Mayit. So with this, we say that Tisha B'Av and Shmini Atzeres go together. And even as Tisha B'Av is so hard, it's so hopeful, because we know that Kasha Lai Predaschem, in the first sense, we're separated from the Ribbono Shel Olam, but also we'll be back together with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we're separated from each other, but we'll be back together with each other. So I'd like to just say two nekudas to understand this a little bit better. One is to answer our Gemara. We asked in the Gemara, I don't have time to go through it, again, all the reasons, but we came up with the Gemara. You know, we all know that Sin of Schinim destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, but if you take a look in the Gemara, in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Tes, the Gemara says seven reasons why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. I'll just read a couple just to get into it. L'chor Yishlam B'Shvil Shechilas HaShabbos. One says Gemachal Shabbos. L'chor Yishlam B'Shvil Shebitlu Kriyashma. They didn't say Kriyashma. Lorchar Yerushalayim Ella Bishul Tinaikas based Rabin. They were Mvatal Tinaikas based Rabin. Lorchar Yerushalayim El Midesha Lohaylem Baishas Panim was ended. They weren't embarrassed of each other. Lorchar Yerushalayim Lev Shvil Shushu Katan Vigal made small like big. And because they didn't give themselves each other to Chacha. What it all has in common, I think, is it's all a separation from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything that, every time you have a machlokes, every time you don't treat people properly, it's a separation of each other and a separation from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's kosher like predaskim in both senses. The sense of separating from the Ribbono Shel Olam and separating from each other. And that's what the Churban HaBayis is. When the Gemara gives us all these reasons, when it says sinas chinam, and the Gemara tells us many, many other reasons. Because sinas chinam was the basis. Sinas was the basis. Because we hate each other, it's hard for us to love the Ribbono Shel Olam. A person has hate in his heart, can't turn it around in a minute in love. Hatred is hatred, and that ruins the person. It destroys the neshama of the person, destroys the inside of the person. The soul of the person is twisted and destroyed. Somebody who hates his friend cannot love the Ribbono Shel Olam. He doesn't have love in his heart, he has hatred in his heart. So the Torah is telling us all of these reasons all come because of Kreda. And it all goes back, as it always does, to Maisa Brachos. Because if we take a look all the way back in Parshas Brachos, and we find in Pasuk Tes, it's page 11, we find that the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Adam as he's going out of Gan Eden, Vayikra Hashem Elokim Ela Adam Vayomer Lo Ayeka, where are you? And the Chazal tell us, what are the letters of Ayeka? Where are you? Echa. It's the same word as the word Echa. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam saying, Ayeka, where are you? You're not connecting with me anymore. You've gone off on your own path to go somewhere else. That leads to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That ayeka is that you went off with the Deitz Hadas Tavra. You're going off in other ways. You're going off to something which Chas HaShom could lead to an Avodah Zarah. You're breaking your connection. Ayeka, where are you? So that ayeka is the clarion call of the Ribbono Shel Olam to Adam and to all of us. Ayeka, where are we? Because we don't have that ayeka reconnecting to the Ribbono Shel Olam, then Rachman Aslan, we end up with the Eicha. So this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. Eicha es levadi tarach ma'asam vilchem. If you're contentious people, and your people don't have love in your heart, your people fight and they have death, it's going to be very difficult to connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So you have to ask yourself, how can we be together with each other when we have that together with each other? Kosh Lai Predasim will be together without period, then we can serve and we can go up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's nothing apparent. It says, we've said many times, the word of Avinu Malkeinu, at one time. But Avinu Malkeinu, why do we call him Avinu Malkeinu? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm your father. I'd like my kids to get along. It's important for me. That's why I have nachas. So if we get along with each other, and then we get along with Ribbono Shel Olam, so we will, as the Pasuk says, we will no longer say, Eicha Yashab Adad, but we'll say, Oy, there's such a big klal Yisrael, Eicha Es Levadi, how can do it? There's so many people, and we got to take care of everybody. There'll be such an enormous klal Yisrael. But we can only do it if we're all together and we're not prepared with each other. So you should all have an easy, meaningful kindness, and in Mitzvah Hashem, next week we'll phrase it Tzazaman with the Shabbos Nachamu with Mitzvah Hashem, the Parshat Tzazaman.
Very nice.
Okay, Colton. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, we would like, I think it's good. I see how the